the weird thing I'm reminded of with Cindy recalling the Downing Street minutes, which were big news in the spring of 2005, that there was this official record of a meeting, years before in England with the Prime Minister, and they knew that they were going to, that the United States was going to lie the country into a war and had decided on a war while maintaining they were trying to avoid a war. And then that was supplemented by all sorts of additional information and documentation and minutes and memos and so forth. They've done endless investigations and whitewashes in England, and they're going to have their latest report coming out from the Chilcot Committee on July 6th, which really should have been July 4th. And in the United States, nothing like it, not even the pretense of any sort of truth, reconciliation, accountability, prosecution, nothing. But what I'm reminded of when this came out and we said to Congress members and to so-called journalists and the White House press corps that this is news. This documents that what everybody assumed was true was actually true. They were intentionally lying us into a war. And they said, oh, we knew that. We knew that at the time. Well, did you write about it? Did you say it on the radio? Did you talk about it on, Meet the Depressed? They just knew it, but it wasn't mentionable. And so it's old news, but it was never reported as news. Well, they've gotten much more open about this stuff as time has rolled on and the media has gotten worse. And what happened in 05 was the Democrats were in the minority. And so they had people like Cindy in unofficial minority hearings speaking truth to power and pretending that if they got the majority and chaired the committees, they were going to end the wars, impeach the criminals, help the poor, save the environment. Well, what did people do in 2006? They said, hold on, we don't have time for speakers meetings and rallies. We got to work on voting. And they put everything into electing the Democrats, and the Democrats got the majority, and they got the chairmanships. And they said, what the hell do you want from us? Get out of here. And Rahm Emanuel, who ran the Democrats in the House in January 2007, completely shamelessly and openly told the Washington Post, in fact, even though every exit poll said that we got this first and foremost in order to end the war, we're actually not going to end the war. We're going to escalate it, keep it around for two more years because we really want to run against it again in 2008. Now, how do you run against, quote unquote, against, in opposition to something that you've been pursuing for the past 2 years and the previous years? Well, because they've labeled it a Republican war. Right? I mean, and this is up through the current day. You've got a war in Afghanistan that in terms of deaths, days, dollars, blood, suicides, troop deployments, is overwhelmingly Barack Obama's war. But if we ever get, another Republican president and people find out there's still a war in Afghanistan, they're going to be scratching their heads. How did Bush get that war to the new guy with the 8-year gap? Because it's Bush's war that Obama's been credited with ending for 8 years running, while he tripled it and then slowly brought it down again. And yes, thank you, Dan, for the reminder that this is Memorial Day. We have now a war holiday and in most cases a war week and a war month of awareness of this and that every day of the year now. You can't get away from it, and very few peace holidays. I wrote another book about the peace movement of the 1920s and a treaty they created that's still on the books that bans all war and proposed a holiday. And some cities around the country are now getting their city councils to have a holiday celebrating that. But, it's very rare, and we have to push back. I mean, this is something you can do every day. When somebody mentions celebrating Memorial Day, you can say, are you serious? Why? And it's not because we don't care about dead soldiers. A Vietnam vet against the war said to me 2 days ago in San Francisco at an event, and he said this in tears, let us remember the 58,000 dead from the Vietnam War. And I said, you are right, but let us remember 6 million and 58,000 dead. Because they're humans too, because we care about them, because we're responsible for them, and because we have to educate the public that they exist. You know, tell people how many miles that wall in D.C. would have to be to include the dead from that war, the American War, as the Vietnamese call it, not the Vietnamese War. It was an American war, right? And if you go to Germany, or you watch Michael Moore's latest movie, and you ask anybody, what are the worst things the German government has done? What were the dates? How many people died, down to the man, woman, and child? Japan, same thing. An education of national shame and regret and commitment not to do it again. In the United States, there's absolute... You try asking anybody, how many people did the United States kill to take over the continent, to destroy Vietnam, to destroy Iraq? You know, polls of Americans, where they think as many Americans died in Iraq as Iraqis, and that the Iraqis should be grateful, and that the Iraqis are grateful, and that those who think the Iraqis aren't grateful wonder why. You know, this is, you know, American attitudes. And so I wrote a book called War is a Lie 5 or 6 years ago, because there was this notion that there was something unique about 2003, that a president had lied the country into a war. Oh my God, never happened before. How could this happen? And I went and looked at every war I could find through U.S. history, pre-U.S. history, around the world, trying to find a war. You know, it's holding up a light, searching for an honest man, trying to find a war not based on a pack of lies, and I couldn't do it. Some of you may have your favorite, you know, justified war from the past, and you can ask me about it during the Q&A, and I'll tell you why it was not justified, and what the package of lies was that sold it and escalated it and continued it and beautified it after the fact. But every single war is based on a similar set of lies. I mean, there's 6 or 8 types of lies. They choose the ones that are going to work best, and they get the war going, and they tell completely different ones later and completely different ones decades after the war happened. I mean, a lot of the justifications for World War II didn't exist until after World War II was over, you know. And so I looked at public reaction, and I found that in 2001 and in 2003, in some polls, you had a majority of Americans saying, yes, let's have a war. And in both cases, within a year and a half and ever since, in every poll I've ever seen, you had a majority saying, never should have started that war. Right? So there's a need to know something sooner, a need to learn more quickly. Right? And so I wrote a second edition of the book, looking at the past 5 or 6 years, what have we learned? What are we doing better? Where are we still falling down? You know, because when people find out about the lies that get wars going, the support for the wars drops off dramatically. And you look at when we were working on the Downing Street Minutes and other evidence of Iraq war lies, as the belief that Iraq was based on lies went up, just like a week or two later, disapproval of the war followed right along in the polls, right? And when people find out what happened to the USS Maine in Havana Harbor, what didn't happen in the Gulf of Tonkin, what didn't happen with the ships that Wilson or Roosevelt talked about, what public relations firm coached a girl to pretend that babies were taken out of incubators and so forth, that the support for those wars just drops off. And so you look at the past several years, with lies about mountaintop rescues, lies about dictators in Libya promising to massacre civilians and handing out Viagra for mass rape, lies about where ISIS came from, lies about a plane going down in Ukraine, lies about the drone war in Yemen, the lies about the success of the Iraq surge carried over to justify the escalation in Afghanistan, all of these lies, when are we recognizing them and when are we not? And in 2013 was really our shining moment of greatest encouragement, because we had a president and a secretary of state who made a hard pitch for a massive bombing campaign of Syria. And the president of the United States said, look at my Nobel Peace Prize, look at my liberal credentials, and look at these YouTubes of children being killed with chemical weapons, and I have absolutely nothing I'm willing to show you, but I swear to you I have incontrovertible evidence who did it. And because the wrong types of weapon were used and I know who did it, we must bomb Syria or be in favor of killing children with chemical weapons. I mean, this was not like, hey, by the way, we might try this. This was a hard sales pitch. But Jewish holidays, APAC on vacation, Congress holidays, Congress members in their districts doing public events, being asked, why should we get in a war on the side of Al-Qaeda? I thought you said they were the devil for the past 10 years. Public in Britain, so outraged, they got the House of Commons to turn against a prime minister's war proposal for the first time since Yorktown. And a decade of the Iraq War first having been made illegal at the United Nations and then having been denounced as a criminal enterprise by endless events just like this one and all other sorts, so that it became such a badge of shame that in 2012, if you'd voted for it, you couldn't win a primary. You had to wait at least 4 years to maybe win a primary when people started to forget about the Iraq war lies, which you had sold to the public along with the White House. And so 2013, the director of the CIA goes into the president and, quoting his predecessor, George Tenet, from Downing Street memo days, who had said the Iraq war weapons of mass destruction is a slam dunk, said, Mr. President, what you're selling on the chemical weapons attack in Syria is not a slam dunk. And when the public put in more disruption of congressional town halls and more phone calls and emails into Congress and more of everything than ever before on any issue, banker bailout included, and Congress made clear they were turning against this, despite Raytheon stock being higher than it will ever be again and ever was before, and every media outlet and both big political parties and the White House and the Secretary of State and so forth saying we got to bomb Syria, the public said, no, you can't. And the president, according to himself in The Atlantic magazine recently, admitted the last thing they ever want to admit, which is that the public was a huge part in him reversing the decision that he had formally made. And promised to the John McCains of Washington to bomb the hell out of Syria. Now, and they then subsequently made other decisions, because once you haven't done the last resort of stupid, irrational mass murder, they just do any of the 1,001 other options that are always available as other resorts. So they picked up, let's take the chemical weapons out of Syria, which was, lying on the table for years and so forth. They didn't pick up a dozen other useful things they could have done, and they did incredibly destructive things that made the situation worse, arming and training proxies, the Pentagon arming and training troops to fight against the CIA's armed and trained troops, and all sorts of madness and destruction. But they didn't bomb Syria, which Hillary says to this day the president was wrong not to have done, which probably would have put ISIS in control of the entire country. They didn't do that because the public recognized that's a lie, and because it was very similar to the still-remembered Iraq war lies. Other lies, the next year, 2014, you get videos of white people killed with knives, and you, Mr. President, any war you want, take the opposite side of where we had the moral obligation to be in the war last year. Get in on both sides, do whatever you want. White people got killed with knives. So there's a factor of fear that really impedes our ability to resist war lies. But this is why I wrote a book that is a guide to prepare people to spot lies about wars more quickly and not wait for memos to come out and minutes to be leaked and Freedom of Information Act requests to be answered. But when the United States is bombing the coast of some distant land and you're told that one of their ships fired a missile back at a U.S. ship, you know enough to say that was actually not an attack on the United States. I don't care whether it really happened or didn't. When the president says we must bomb Baghdad because they have weapons, every single one of which the United States openly admitted to having vast stockpiles of itself, you can say, I don't care if that's true or not. It doesn't justify bombing anybody's house. When the U.S. media says Russia just flew a plane near a U.S. plane in the Baltic Sea, you don't look up, Putin's relationship to Hitler. Maybe they're really related. You get a globe and look for the Baltic Sea and see which coast of the United States it's off of. They are always telling you lies, but they're also always answering the wrong question in the first place, right? And so to be able to spot that and say, no, we stop that war, we stop that war, we're going to stop this war, we're going to stop every war, because we don't need any of them. This is what the book is supposed to facilitate.